Okay, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. Sorry about the little confusion about where this was taking place. I want to begin by, way of introduction, that our objective over the next 3 weeks is to learn to delve once again, like we do every year, into the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, into the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and the themes that we're going to be discussing, not really in tonight's year, specifically in the last year, is really the theme of us being chosen, of the unique responsibility, the unique role that Klal Yisrael play in this world, and what actually occurred in Mitzrayim on Leil HaSeder, what actually occurred in Mitzrayim on the night of Tezvav Nisan, the night that Klal Yisrael were chosen, the night that we were distinguished from the other nations to have our unique role. And I think, just this is by way of introduction, it's nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight. There's a special Yetzer Hara on Leil HaSeder to get so involved with the Seder that it kind of can overshadow what the objective of the Seder is. The objective of the Seder is that if someone is Zoche to have children or grandchildren around them at the Seder, and even if one is not Zoche to such a thing, the objective is that those who you are spending the night with should feel that sense of chosenness, that sense of specialness, and the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them and has a very unique mission that in store for them. Sometimes what could happen is that a Seder, people are so, like, they want to say this, and the kids are talking, and there ends up being like a feeling in the air of kind of, tension, or that's the opposite. If you didn't say one word about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but you wrote a poem to everybody who's at your Seder about how special they are, you would not be Mekayem the Mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But, I think in a lot of ways you'd be Mekayem the Ruach of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You would. That, in a lot of ways, would probably be a more productive Leil HaSeder than people fighting, I don't want to hear your Dvar Torah is too long, the food isn't good. The point is to feel that we're chosen, that we're special, that Hashem has something in store for us. And we're going to say a lot of Dvar Torah, a lot of ideas. We're going to learn a lot. We're going hard tonight, I'm just saying. I hope that people are ready to go, ready. We're going to learn a lot. But I don't want the amount that we're learning, I don't want the preparation that we do, the Pesach, to overshadow that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of being a Jew is the story of being special. The Am Seulah, not my words, Hashem's words. V'atem tiyulim amleches kohanim v'goy kodesh. And if only every person at our Seder would leave feeling that their parents, that their grandparents see that in them, it's much easier to then be able to extrapolate from there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sees it in us. So that is the number one goal. Now we're going to learn a lot of Torah so that we're able to really fill that in a significant way. So let's start from the beginning. The beginning is, what is the Haggadah? What does that word Haggadah mean? Where does the word Haggadah come from? Feel free to chime in. This is not a formal session. I'm not a formal person. Didn't wear a tie on purpose. This way you chime in whenever you want. You call out. Something's not clear. Go for it. The Torah tells us, and on that day, referring to Leil HaSeder, you should tell your child, it is ba'avur zeh, we darshan na Haggadah, ba'avur zeh lo amarti elo b'shal sheyesh matzah umar munachan lefanecha. There's a special mitzvah on Leil HaSeder, the night that we have the matzah and mar in front of us, to tell over to those in our presence the story, b'tzeisim mitzrayim, when we, Bavur ze osa Hashem li. That which Hashem did for me, for Ben Zion Feld, personally, I'm supposed to be able to feel that somehow. B'tzeis Mitzrayim, when I left Egypt. And now we know that this word, v'higadata, is most definitely the source for the reason why we refer to the book as the Haggadah. So this is an important word. Because you see, in Lashon Kodesh, there are many words to describe the process of saying something. Right? You could have Kriyas HaTorah, you could have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, you could have a mitzvah that you're supposed to do, Be'amira, Bissipur. What does the word Haggadah mean? In what way is the word Haggadah, V'higadita, different than other mitzvahs that are accomplished via Dibur, via speech, that are not done B'Haggadah? Is there a unique connotation to what the word Haggadah means, and can that inform for us what our objective is on Leil HaSeder? So the Malbim, who is one of the Achronim, he is known. His theory in Parshanut, in the way that he expounds the Torah, is that Lashon Kodesh has no words that mean the same thing. I don't want to say it has no synonyms. You could have a synonym. Synonym doesn't mean the exact same thing, but every word in Hebrew has a slightly different connotation because the Torah is perfect. So if the Torah is perfect, that means it always selects the exact perfect word to describe what it's going for. And the Malbim will go through each and every word in Lashon Kodesh and tell you it sounds like it's the same, but it's actually slightly different. So it says the Malbim as follows. Yesh hevdel bein magid ubein omer umisaper. The word magid is a different type of communication than amiram and sipor. Hamagid, one who is being magid, says the Malbim, modia davar shelo yada hashomeh. A magid is telling the person something that they do not already know. V'sherotze ledaito, ki adavar nogei lo. And something that they want to know because it's very relevant for them. Magid, the word haggadah, says the Malbim, has two factors. It's something that he does not already know, that the recipient, the listener, does not already know, but that they want to know. That's no get, and that's irrelevant for them. That's going to be hard. How many of us don't know the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Says the Malbim, we have to be able to say over something that the listener does not already know. That is our charge. V'higadata levincha b'yoma hu le'mor. As we develop, my objective for tonight is specifically through three sentences in the Haggadah, but to try to shine light on a component of Leil HaSeder, which is very unique, a component that requires from us to feel the story in a new way each and every year, in a new and personal way each and every year. We're going to use this Malbim kind of as our background, and we're going to really run with it, and hopefully, Be'ezras Hashem, be able to shed some light on an ancient mitzvah. And again, just to read that last line, the Malbim contrasts Haggadah with Amira. Masha'inkin ha'omer, if you tell someone something with the lashon of Amira, yagam bedavar bilti chadash. Amira could include something that the listener is already aware of, but Haggadah does not. Haggadah means you're telling them something that's new and that they should care about because it relates to them. So that's our charge. Where and how do we do that in the Haggadah Shel Pesach? In the next source, I just brought another time that the Malbim, is mechalik like this. The pasuk says, Hashemayim misaprim kivod kel, umasayadav magid harakia. What's the difference between misaprim and being magid? So again, here, the Malbim says the same thing. Haggadah is bedavar chadash, shechaver rotze lida'ato. So I think in order to understand clearer, better, what exactly it means that when we tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're supposed to do it specifically as a Haggadah, specifically with something new, with something fresh, and with something that the person listening wants to know, let's go to the source in the Torah, the first time in the Torah that the Torah actually tells over the story. The Torah records someone telling over the story of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's in a place that unless you know already, you would probably not suspect. Where is that? By the Bikurim. By the Bikurim, Parashas Kisavo, the Torah tells us about someone who's telling over the story. It's actually a very cool thing. And look how the Torah describes this person's retelling of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Uvaso al kohen asher yabai yimimahim. One has an obligation to go to the Kohanim. V'amarta elov, higadati hayom. I have come to make the following Haggadah. I have come to make the following declaration. Coincidence? I think not, right? He has a Haggadah to share. He wants to share something new. Okay, skip the pasuk, okay? V'anisa v'amarta. Okay, now he just switched. Now he's about to be the Amarta. Before he said his introduction, I have a Haggadah to make. Now, V'anisa v'amarta. What is he going to say? Arami ovid avi, v'yered mitzrayma, v'yagar sham se ma'at, v'yisham u'gagadol v'smir, v'yarei osan mitzrayim. Right? Why are we so familiar with these psukim? These are the psukim that we learned during Magid. So he's going on to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then something incredible happens. Let's go to Pasuk Tes, where something absolutely incredible happens. He finishes the story. And he says, Vayivyenu alamakom azeh, vayitein lonu es aretz hazos, eretz avatz chalav advash. You think the story's over, happily ever after. We left Mitzrayim, we came to Eretz Yisrael, eretz avatz chalav advash. Now look up Pasuk Yod. V'ata. V'ata. I'm not done. right now, there's another chapter being written in that story I just told you. Ve'ata, this second. Hinei hevesi es reishis pri adama asher nesatet li Hashem, v'inachto lefnei Hashem lokecha, v'shtachavis lefnei Hashem lokecha. Says this farmer something unbelievable. There's a story. My forefathers went down to Egypt. They were enslaved. Hashem performed a lot of miracles. He took them out. He brought them to Eretz Yisrael. And I'm here today. I'm here today, me personally. And I am the next chapter of that story. That's something new. He's trying to tell you, we're going to have to delve into this. He's trying to tell you, I am viewing my life right now as being the epilogue, or the next chapter. I'm not sure it's an epilogue. The next chapter of this national, it's a personal chapter in a national narrative. There is a story, Aramid Ovid Avi. That is the story that we darshan in the Haggadah. But if you look at his speech is not over. You see this? He ends his speech with something personal. I think that's what he meant when he said, Higadati Hayom. Vianisa Viamarta. Vianisa Viamarta was, I'm going to tell you something you already know. Arami Oved Avi. You already know the story. You know that. But what you don't know is my chapter in the story. What you don't know is that the story is still being written. Viata, right now, I am coming to tell you that I am a link in that story. We're going to delve more into this. I just want to make sure that point came across clearly. Yes, Shalom.
So the former is speaking the whole time here?
Yes.
Right,
no, no, so no, that's actually not him. Yeah. Venisa Viamarta and then is him. Arami Ovid Avi is him, right. But we're telling you should say an Amira, not Vianisa Viagadita. Vianisa Viamarta. The farmer. Vianisa Viamarta, Hashem's saying to the farmer, you're commanded to say the following.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we see that in the original Haggadah, in the original retelling of the story of Mitzrayim, which the Torah records in Devarim, Chavav. The way that the story is told over is by first recounting Arami Ovid Avi Vayered Mitzrayim, first recounting that which happened, and then adding in his own vi'ata. And right now is part of the story. So what I want to see is, do we do that when we tell over the story? If you go to the Haggadah Shel Pesach, is there a point in that story where we reflect the sentiments of Pasuk Yud in this parak? In Pasuk Yud in this parak, he finishes telling over a story that occurred long ago, and he says, but I'm not done. I'm part of this story. In our Haggadah Shel Pesach, do we do that? And if so, where? Is that question clear? Excellent. So that's where we're going. That's exactly where we're going. Is that, let's just go there instead of saying we're going there. Let's just go, then we'll be there. Where we're going is as follows. Is that there is a very unique mitzvah that only applies one night of the year. It's called to be so creative and so imaginative. You think you're supposed to be creative and dress up on Purim? No. You think that on Sukkot, you're supposed to get into the sukkah that your ancestors sat in long. No. On Pesach, we have a mitzvah that is mamish yochid b'mino. There's nothing else like it in the 613 mitzvahs. What is that? So, says the Mishnah. You guys see my second section towards the bottom of page one. Chayav adam l'eres hazatzma. Says the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, Rabbi Gamliel haya omer, b'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam liras es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. Not retelling of an ancient story, but a part of your own story. That clear? Now, which pasuk do you think he brings as a raya to this? V'higadita. V'higadita, which is a language of you have to tell it in your own way, a new way, something that what people don't know yet. V'higadita levin chabayom hu leimor, bavurzeh asa Hashem tehu, lavoseinu? Li. Li, not lavoseinu. Bavurzeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim mitzrayim. That is the chiyuv of the night. This is not mahadrim in the mahadrim. This is not a chumrah. This is the chiyuv of Leil HaSedek. To feel like you are leaving Mitzrayim on your own. What's the raya? V'higadita, which is a lashon of saying something over that's new, and saying the pasuk is written. You don't even need the word higadita. It's nice that we have it, but you don't need it. Bavur ze asa Hashem li. That's the obligation. This is what Hashem has done for me. Very much aligned with our farmer in pasuk Yud, who says, and by the way, I'm part of the story too. Very much in line with our farmer in pasuk Yud. So that's that is our obligation. Now, it's not enough to just say it. We have to understand why and how to do it. So what are we supposed to do? Right? When you sit in your sukkah, this is what you're not supposed to think. You're not supposed to think, these are the actual sukkos that our forefathers sat in Mitzrayim, in the desert. That's just called hallucinating. That's not a mitzvah. What you're supposed to think is, leman yedidor seichem, kiva sukkos, hoshafti. There used to be sukkos. They were in the desert, in somewhere far away from here. This is me commemorating, not reliving, commemorating something that happened long, long, long ago. Now, we can commemorate things in different ways. We commemorate Shabbos by making Kiddush Alayin. We commemorate that which happened with Klal Yisrael and Amalek by reading from it Berabim in the Torah. We commemorate the Nes of the Sukkos by building a Sukkah. In theory, could we have commemorated it by coming to Shul and reading the Parsha? Of course. Chazal said, this mitzvah we're going to commemorate by acting it out. That's not what's happening in the Seder. You're not commemorating. You're reliving. You're experiencing what you are leaving Mitzrayim. You're experiencing, it's not the same. It's very, very, they might look the same. It might so, in onlooker, I could even think, on Sukkos, we do a lot more. We actually go in the Sukkah and we sit. No. Sukkos is commemoration of the Sukkos of old. Leil HaSeder, we are all in Mitzrayim and we're leaving. So what does that mean? How do we accomplish it? And why in the world, of all the 613 mitzvahs, did Chazal say, for this one, you got to get in the zone? There's something about this mitzvah that it wouldn't have been accomplished if we were just commemorating that which happened a long time in Egypt. It's not a night of commemoration. It's a night of re-experiencing. Why? Okay. So let's turn the page. Yeah. You're saying ace to ace is from the ions, like interesting. You're saying it's like, yeah, it's the same idea. It's a very similar idea. Yeah. Okay, so if you turn the page, on the top is a Mishnah and a Gemara. We're going to get back to that. I brought three sections from the Haggadah, which are exactly in this order. This is how they're brought. It's from the middle of Magid. You can just take a second to look at what we have over here. Many of us are familiar with. I want to start from the third sentence. I always felt like this third sentence was the sentence that was trying to explain to us why Leil HaSeder is so personal. And I want to work backwards from the third sentence to the second sentence to the first sentence and hopefully open up a very, very important idea. So the third sentence that I cited here is V'hi she'amda la'avoseinu v'lan. She'lo achod bilvad amar alinu l'chavoseinu. Hav amina, you could have said, it was only achod bilvad. Maskana, no. B'chol dor v'dor omdim alinu l'chavoseinu. V'akadosh baruch hu matzilinu miyadam. So one of the first divrei Torah I ever remember saying at my Seder, got from probably my Mora and Y&J, is what does V'hi mean? So I remember this is what I said. V'hi means it's no trickin, meaning you'll see what I mean in a second. The Vav stands for the Shisha of Sidrei Mishnah. The Hey stands for Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Yud stands for Aseres Dibros. The Aleph stands for Hashem. I remember saying that as a little kid. Now I didn't appreciate the question. Before we get to the answer, is very nice. It's actually brought down by Sfarim. What's the question? What's troublesome about the word V'hi in the sentence? What's troublesome? Is there anything troublesome?
What's it referring to?
It's not clear, right? You don't usually start. First of all, what does the word v'hi mean? And okay, so if it's referring to a person, it means and she. And there's no word it in Hebrew, right? So you would say you could refer to an inanimate object with who or he in Hebrew also, right? So v'hi is she'amda, and it turns to something that's nekeva.
And this.
So that's the question that we're coming to answer. What? I mean, this is a pretty big deal. Imagine, like, I had this every once in a while. You're listening to a shir, and you miss, like, the first half of the sentence, and the second half is like, and that answers all the questions. And you're like, one second. I know I missed the most important thing, right? So now imagine I'm telling you, this is what stood for us in every single generation, and this is why we're still here. But I didn't tell you what it is. So the mafarshim, what's the it? So I remember as a kid, that was my dvar Torah. The it was, very beautiful. It's very beautiful. I want to say something that I think is a little more in the text. Now, usually when you have a preposition, What's the preposition referring to? The antecedent. Okay, I just want people to be impressed I knew the word antecedent. That was really why this whole share, so we can stop now. So what's an antecedent? An antecedent is the most recent pronoun mentioned by name. Right? So Sally went to the store, she bought milk. So who's the she? It's Sally, right? Okay, good. So what's the he? So let's go one sentence above. Baruch Shomer Avtechosu LeYisrael Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem, that you have kept your covenant. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Chishev Esaketz. Hakodesh Baruch Hu, that's a hard line to translate. He kept in mind the end. What does the end mean? It's Gematria 190. 400 years minus 190, 210. Okay, there's a lot of Torah on that. Lasos Kemosha Omar La'avim Ravina Bris Ben Habasar. Hakodesh Baruch Hu always had in mind to fulfill the Bris Ben Habasar. Shenemar, as the Torah says, Vayomer Le'Avram Yodoa Teida Ki Ger Yezerech Baritz Lo'lahem. You should know your children will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs. The Avodim, and they will enslave them. V'inu Osam, they will experience affliction. But don't worry, they're going to leave and all is going to be good. And this is what stood for all generations. So what does the word v'hi seem to be referring to?
The
haftacha of the Bris Ben Habasar. Now that is surprising, because if I ask you about the Bris Ben Habasarim, what would you say? What's the content of the Bris Ben Habasarim? First, it makes sense also, because Bris is Lashon Nekeva, so the Hisha Amda is also Lashon Nekeva. It makes sense that it's referring back to the Bris. So most people think that the Bris Ben Habasarim was the promise to Avram that they're going to go down for Avram Eoshana to which land? Mitzrayim. To Mitzrayim. And they're going to come out. So the Bris Ben Habasarim, most people understand, is confined to a specific time in history that concluded roughly 3,300 years ago. That's the typical way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a promise to Avram, Yodoh HaTeda, Ger Yezerech Baritz Lo'lahem, V'Avodim V'Yinu Osam, but it'll end, don't worry. Says the Baal Haggadah, who we don't know who he was, but says the author of the Haggadah, who was a Tana, we don't know exactly who he was, a tremendous Chiddush. No, you misunderstood. You thought that was a one-time deal, the person that was sorry? V'hi sha'om d'lavoseinu v'lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'atzilenu mi'odom in each and every ghost. You want to know why? B'schus the Bris Ben Habasarim. Wow. That's a big read in the Parashah and Chumash. So first, I just want to show you that this is not my Ha'ara. The Shiva Alekhid, who's a Rishon, I won't read them all, but the Shiva, who's a Rishon, says, V'hisham d'Avasein v'lanu, Perish Achi Rabbeinu Binyamin, he quotes from his brother, Havtochas ha-ge'ulo sheftiach ha-kodesh baruch hu li-Avram avinu Bris Ben Habasarim, kishehera lo shibud v'golios, he osa ha-avtocha, it is that promise, that covenant, she'omdol avoseinu v'mitzrayim, u'v'bavel, u'v'modai, u'v'yavon, v'hi ha'omedes lanu be'edom. That same promise, things will be bad, but don't worry, I'm there. I have a plan. I'm going to take you out. I didn't leave. That is that same bris that has accompanied us in every single galus. Yes. You know what, a second, David. Can I finish the part of Bris Ben Habasarim? And if I didn't answer it, I'll come back to you. Does that work?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Then just to show, I quoted from the Malbim also, because we've been using the Malbim here, and I want to connect this back to the Malbim. So if you see three lines into my, where I clearly took a picture of a sefer, it's not the print. So three lines in, it says, Shelo Echad Bilvad, Rach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyodam, Vilo Shetavu Hatzalo Mitara Teva Obikochenu V'Otzim Yedenu. Don't think that when we get saved from Galus, we get saved from a tzara, it's from our own strength. V'zeh Hakdama, this portion of the Hisha Amda is an introduction, L'mashe Yaskul L'saper Acharichin Arami Ovid Avim, Shalovin Bikesh Lakor Asako. Says the Malbim something very important. Imagine the following thing. Like, we have the whole night to speak about how terrible or how amazing, let's say how terrible, because that's how terrible something is. And the first speaker gets up there and he says, you think this was bad? Let me tell you about something much, much, much worse. That'd be a strange way to start an event speaking about why X is bad. To say, you think X is bad? Well, Y is much worse. How do we start this here? Say, oh man, my big ish love and I rami lakos l'ako avinu. Paro lo gozar el ha'oz chayim. Lovon bikesh lakor asakol. Paro, he don't want to kill the males. Lovon, he's really terrible. Isn't Power like the villain of the night? You think he's the villain? He's not. Lovan was a bad guy. It's a strange way to start the night of a Super TS Mintern. It's not really a night of Super TS Mintern. It is. But Super TS Mintern is the prime example of what we're trying to drive at. We're driving at what it means to be a Jew. What it means to be part of this covenant of the Bris Ben Abasar. You will have tsaros, but they're not haphazard. You will have tsaros, but they're not by chance. Nationally, we will go through difficult times. Individually, we'll go through difficult times, but they're not by chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and it's for our benefit. So let's just start from the earliest example. Let's start from Lavan. We're going to spend the bulk of our night on Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we'll discuss why. But it's not only a night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a night of understanding the cycle of what it means to be a Jew. So Lavan, he belongs here tonight. He was our first example. He's not a prime example, but he's our first example of someone who tried to come and destroy us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, thank you. I need these guys. They're my guys. Right? And that's what Lavan is doing at the Seder table. Because he belongs at the Seder table. And so does Hitler, and so does everybody else. Well, let's invite them all. Because to each and every one of them, we can point and we can say, Behold the Vador, Om Demelein Elchal Haseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzalein Miyadim. To each and every one of them. So we want to invite them all. Now, I want to just look for a minute. I'm trying to figure out how to budget the time. I also don't know how much time you guys think you're here for. So it's like a very interesting thing. Maybe we're going till 10. I don't know. Maybe we're going, ending in 5 minutes. You know, it's actually interesting. The Rambam says, you're allowed to work in Eved as hard as you want. But there's one rule. You have to tell him when it's over. That's the rule. If you give him a melacha she'en la kitzva, that's an isser of lo sir debo b'farach. That's called avodas parach. So the worst thing that a magad shir could do is just not say when the shir is going to end. That's the worst thing. That's like mamash avodas parach. So how about this? We'll definitely be over by 9:10. We might even be over by 9. Okay, how about that? We'll say it like that. I'm not sure. Oh, very good. Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Okay. So now, just to see where in the world did the Baal HaAgadah get this Chiddush from? How did he know that the Bris Ben Abasarim was Bechol Dor Bador? How do you know it wasn't just a one-time deal, a one-time shot? So if you look at the Pesukim in the Bris Ben Abasarim, which I brought here in the bottom of page number 2, you see the Pesuk where I have the 4 bolded words? So the Bris Ben Abasarim is a little bit hard to read. I put it in English here for anyone who wants to look at it later and just, you know, kind of become more familiar with what it is exactly. It's a very important few Pesukim in the Torah and very hard to read and a little bit understudied. So basically, Avram sets up these animals, he creates a bris. I want to talk about what Hashem said to him, not so much the bris. So let's see Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayhi Hashemesh Lava, and the sun was beginning to set. V'tardema, a deep sleep, nafla al Avraham, v'hine ema chashecha gedola nofeles alav. A deep, intense darkness fell upon him. And here there's a slight machlokas in the Rishonim. What is the Torah telling us with these words? That a deep, intense darkness fell upon Avram. So some Rishonim learn that this is just par for the course of what it means to receive prophecy. Prophecy is obviously not a physical experience. Prophecy is a metaphysical experience. It's a spiritual experience. And in order for a human body to be able to receive spirituality in such an intense way, you kind of have to forfeit your humanity and you just become like lifeless to a certain extent in order to be able to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was feeling dark and he was feeling not like himself. That's what some Rishonim understand, but not Rashi. Rashi understands that this sense of darkness was not an introduction to the prophecy, it was part of the prophecy itself. Turn the page, you'll see, side number 3, where I have Rashi is the second source here. V'hinei emo chashecha, says Rashi, remez litzaros v'choshech shel galuyos. The prophecy begins with Avram Avinu seeing the dread and the terror that his children will experience until the end of the last galus. That was why he felt so dreadful. And Chazal in the Drasha even learned from each of these 4 words. Again, what were the 4 words? Ema chashecha gedola nofala salav, right? 4 phrases. Ema is the galus of Bava. Again, if we had more time, we'd get into why each of these words match this galus. But chashecha was Madai, gedola is Yavan, nofeles alav zu Edom. This sounds a lot like what the Baal HaGadah was saying. Avram Avinu in the Brisbane Abazarim, how does it start? He sees all of the Galuyos until the end of time. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells him, you're going to have Galus. But what else are you going to have? You're also going to have Geula. You're also going to have Geula. And that, says the Baal Haggadah, that's a promise that extended for all of the Galuyos that Avram was shown, not just Mitzrayim. That was a promise that it's true always. It's a promise that's true always. I think that this allows us to look at the concept of Galus in a different lens. In the lens that the Torah tells us to look at the Galus of Mitzrayim. Because Hashem himself in Parshas Ve'eschanan tells us how to look at the Galus of Mitzrayim. That's in my box here. Ve'eschem lokach Hashem vayotzi eschem mikur ha-barzel. Have people heard of this phrase before? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I took you out, and he gives Mitzrayim a nickname. The nickname that Hashem gives Mitzrayim is the Kur HaBarzel, an iron furnace. What's the mushel? What's the mushel? That in order to take precious metals and to make them usable, I don't know exactly, you know, refined, to refine them to be in their most pure state, they have to go through a very intense heating process. There's a word for it. What's it? Smelting. With a T? Smelting. It has to go through a smelting process. And in that smelting process, all of the things that are not perfectly pure, the iniquities, I don't know what the word is, the impurities, are kind of, you know, gotten rid of. And all you're left with is the pure, pure metal that you want. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was Mitzrayim. That was Mitzrayim. You might have not seen it because we don't understand Hashem's master plan. We're not big enough. We're not supposed, we shouldn't even try. But what Hashem said, and this is why we focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim was the most obvious example of where Hashem said, I was here the whole time and I had big plans for you. It wasn't by, even from how we got there with Yosef and his brothers and from Esther Makos and the whole thing, Hashem said, I'll give you a front row seat to one time. For what Galus and Geula looks like from my perspective up there. One time. Never again. That's why you, from now on, you have to remind yourself with your tefillin and with your mezuzah and with your kiddush on Friday night and all those times you say, Zecher l'yetzias Mitzrayim. Because this is a one-time shot. But for once, I want to show you what history looks like from my perspective. Says the Baal Haggadah, the point of the evening is to take chizuk and to remind ourselves that very same story and that very same involvement of the Ribono Shel Olam that happened in Mitzrayim 3,300 years ago is B'chol Dor V'Dor. That is our objective. Our objective is to internalize that the very same Hashgacha that brought the Esrei Makos and brought the Kriyas Yam Suf, the very same Hashgacha that had in mind from the time of Yosef telling on his brothers to Yaakov Avinu exactly how this story had to conclude is with us every single step here in Teaneck, New Jersey in 2024. That's the objective. Bavur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. It's not a story about them. It's a story about me. Do I have to feel like I'm actually leaving Egypt? That is what it says. What I think that it really means is not to put on those, I saw somebody in Boti Park, he was doing karate with his glasses. It was absolutely hilarious. You know I'm talking about? Those glasses that they put on? That they're like virtual reality? It was awesome. It was really awesome. That's not Leil HaSeder. You're not in. The point is to realize that exact same process that they went through, we are going through. That's not a guzma. That's not an exaggeration. It is the exact same thing. It's the exact same God who's overseeing it. We're also in Galus. We have the exact same objective that they had then. To get the world to a point of Geula. It's the same story. And we'll have to try to figure out on Leil HaSeder, what's our role in the story? How do we move forward? How do we move the redemption forward? That is the night. And now I think we could go back to the first of these three paragraphs. I said we're going to do it backwards. If you flip back, again, to page number 2, you saw it, right? That there's three paragraphs. Mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayav aseinu, baruch shomer avtechos liyisrael, and v'hishamdo. So what have we explained so far? We explained that the Haggadah miloshon Haggadah is supposed to be something personal, something new, right? We're not just telling over the story of Arami Ovid Avi like the farmer did. He added in Diata, and I feel like I have a portion in the story. We also on Leil HaSeder have to have a portion. It's our story. our story. That's why we invite love on, right? It's the story of the Bris Bein HaBasar. That's the Vihisha Amda. Not only the six books of the Mishnah and the five books of the Torah, right? Right? It's not only that. That's also a nice var. But it's also referring to the antecedents. The Bris Bein HaBasar. And we're trying to internalize the amazing Chiddush of the Baal HaGadah, which seems to be borne out from the Pirushim on Chumash. Avram saw that deep, intense darkness. Hashem showed him all of the Goluyos, all of the exiles until the end of time, and then he told him, but I'm here. V'achreichen yetzu b'rchosh galo. V'dor vi yeshuvu heinu. You're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a Geula. There's going to be a Geula. And that is what the night is about. That's what we mean by b'chol dor v'dor chayev adam l'eros ha'atzmo kilu hu yatim Mitzrayim. Again, I don't know if it means you put on the glasses. Maybe you're supposed to try. But what it really, really means, in my opinion, is to appreciate that the story of Am Yisrael today is that story. The story of Am Yisrael today is also about getting to the point of Geula. We're still in this cycle, b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, but we know that it's not haphazard. It's a kor habarzel. It's for our benefit. It's hard to say. You don't say this to anyone who's going through something hard. You say, I know b'emuno shalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach. I know. It doesn't mean that I always feel it. I don't. But I know that it's emes. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching, and he has a plan for exactly the way that the world is supposed to go. And now, I think we can go back to the first of these three paragraphs, and then we'll be able to put them all together, and we'll have a new Havana in these three sentences of the Haggadah. This might be one of the strangest sections of the Haggadah, and it's also one of the most important sections of the Haggadah. This is where we actually say over, according to one of the days in the Gemara, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maschel b'knos m'sayim b'shevach. We say the following. Mitzchila uvdei avodah zarah hayu avosein. V'achshav keravanu hamakom l'avodasa. We used to be idolaters, and now we serve God. And then we bring a very strange pasuk as a proof text. If I gave anyone here a Tanakh, and you could have the next 10 years to go through Tanakh and find the best psukim to put in the Haggadah, I do not think there's a single person here who would have put the following pasuk in the Haggadah, and this is the pasuk I want to try to learn. We quote a pasuk from Yehoshua. Excellent. That's impressive. Oh, it says Yehoshua right there, but it's still impressive. Shenemar vayomer Yehoshua al kol ha'am. Yeah, Yehoshua appears in the Torah. It's still impressive. Vayomer Yehoshua. This is actually the last parak of Yehoshua. Yehoshua chav dalet. Vayomer Yehoshua kol ha'am. Ko amar Hashem elokei Yisrael. Be'ever hanar Yashua v'seich me'olam. Used to live in Ever hanar on the other side of the river. Terach avi Avraham v'avi Nachor. There's a guy named Terach. Ve'yavdu lemachir. He was an idolater. But ve'akachas avichem es Avram. I took Avram me'ever hanar. Lech lecha, v'olich oso b'chol Eretz Kanan, I brought him to Eretz Kanan, v'arbe ezar, I gave him descendants, v'etin oz Yitzchak, v'etin li Yitzchak is Yaakov ezes. Okay, pause. So far we're all good? A little recap of Jewish history? Terach, Avram, lech lecha, he's now in Eretz Kanan, I gave Avram Yitzchak, Yitzchak has two sons, Yaakov Esav. What's going to be? Yaakov or Esav, I have two sons. V'etin le'esav es har seir, l'resh es osam. This isn't the Haggadah, by the way. You think I made up this false everyone thinks. This is actually in the Haggadah. Right? Etein le'esav es har seir, the rest of the soul. I gave Esav har seir to inherit it. The Yaakov ubanov yardu Mitzrayim. And Yaakov and his children went down to Mitzrayim. Very strange pasuk. So firstly, where's the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim? I had three questions here. Where is the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim in this pasuk? What? I didn't see anything. About what the night's about. Of all the question two, of all the psukim in Tanakh, why were these psukim, which primarily discuss Yerushas Esav, not primarily, but it definitely highlights Yerushas Esav. Why is the fact that Esav inherited Har Seir make its way into our Haggadah? And also, and this is I think really going to be our key to figuring out this story. Yaakov Ubanov Yardu Mitzrayim. Yaakov and his descendants go down to Egypt. It's like Esav got Har Seir, and Yaakov went down to... Did Yaakov go down to Egypt? I don't know. I read in the whole second half of Sefer Bereishis, he didn't go down to Egypt. There was a whole story with Yosef, and he was in a pit, and he got sold down to Egypt, and there was no food. Very strange to juxtapose these two things. Esav got Har Seir, that was his inheritance. Yaakov went down to Egypt? Well, that's not what happened. This is the pasuk that we bring as like a proof to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what's going on? So I think there's actually an incredible, incredible thing that the Baal HaGadah is teaching us here. Let's go back to the story in the Torah where Esav inherits Har Seir. the story that's being referred, that's what's being referred to in these Pesukim in Yeshua. I want to look at the Pesukim in the Torah and see something incredible that happens there. So turn the page to page number 4. The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayishlach, Elah told us Esav hu Edom. These are the descendants of Esav hu Edom, and the Torah goes on to list the descendants of Esav. I feel bad that I skipped the Pesukim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah that every word in the Torah is divine. We can't negate any words, and the examples he gives are these Pesukim, where it just lists. Actually, is it these? It might be the children of Yishmael. I'm not remembering. See, the children of Esau, the children of Yishmael. Like, don't skip them, because even though we don't know who any of these people are, but they're also words. But okay, for time's sake, I skip them. Now look at Pasuk Vav. Vayikach Esav es Noshav v'es Bonav v'es Pinosav. V'es kol nafshov space so v'es Mikneu v'es kol behemto v'es kol kinyonu asher achash ba'eretz Kinan. Right? Yitzchak lived in Eretz Kinan. Yaakov and Esav grew up in Eretz Kinan. Vayelech el Eretz. He went to a land. The Torah doesn't tell you here what land he went to. He went to a different land. Why? Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. Because of his brother Yaakov. Pasuk Zayin. Why? Because they had Kiyayor Ruchusham Rav. They had so much, you know, cattle. Mishavis Yaakov. Lo Yachla Eretz. Fine. Pasuk Ches. Where did he actually go? Vayeshav Esav. Bahar Seir. Esav Hu Edom. Esav went to Har Seir. So this is the pasuk of the Torah where Esav decides, I'm going to leave Eretz, so I'm going to go to Har Seir. Says Rashi, there's so much more happening behind the scenes that's very much related to Leah Seder. Says Rashi, why did the Torah say by Yelech el Eretz, he went to a different land? Mipnei Yaakov Achiv, because of his brother Yaakov. What does it mean, because of his brother Yaakov? What was his brother Yaakov doing? Says Rashi, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv, Mipnei Shtar Chov Shel Gezeras Kiger Yezarecha. What are those words a reference to? Kiger Yezarecha? Right? Well, the Bris? The Bris Ben Abbasarim. You know why Esav left Eretz Yisrael to go to Har Seir? He was running away from a Shtar Chov. I like the metaphor. What's a Shtar Chov? A Shtar Chov is when I owe you something. Right? It's I owe you money. I owe you something. So what do you do if you owe someone money and you don't want to pay? You run away. You know why Esav left Eretz Yisrael and went to Har Seir? Because he didn't want to go to Mitzrayim. What is going to Mitzrayim have to do with him? Ki ger yezarecham, hamutal azar shel Yitzchak. Says Rashi something incredible. Ger yezarecham, meaning the ability to be part of this Brit Abasarim, did not exclude Esav. It was mutal on who? Zaro shel Yitzchak. Opt in. Two people are allowed to opt in. Yaakov and Esav. Omar says Esav, Eilech li mikan. I am out of here. Ein li chelek, lo b'matana shnit lo aretz azos. I'm not going to get the reward. The lo b'piron ashtar. And I don't want the tzaras. I'm out of here. V'yakov v'vanov yardu mitzrayim. Back to the pasuk in Yeshua. Back to the pasuk in Yeshua. Back to the pasuk in Yeshua, the bottom of page 3. Let's read it again. The part that let's start from two lines from the bottom of the pasuk. Again, in the Haggadah. Ve'akach ha-sabicham esav me'ivar anar. Ve'olich oso b'chol eretz kenan. Ve'arbe zaro ve'etin lo es Yitzchak. Time out. Right, ve'etin l'Yitzchak, it's Yaakov es Esav. Yaakov and Esav. Both of them, if they want, can opt into the Bris Ben Abbasarim. Ve'etin l'Esav es har Seir. Opt out. Ve'yakov levon of yardu Mitzrayim. Opt in. It was a choice. We chose this mahalach. We wanted to be in. Now let's go back and see these three sentences in the Haggadah. We've got back to page 2. Back to page 2. Back to these three sentences. 1, 2, 3. And I think we'll see something incredible. Mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu v'achshav kervanu hamakom avodasa. We used to be idolaters, and now we're Hashem's chosen people. Proof text? How do we know we're Hashem's chosen people? Because there's a Bris Ben Abbasarim. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu threw something out that Yaakov and Esav could have both opted into. Who wants to go through a Kor HaBarzel? Who wants to go through a period, a lifetime, a national lifetime, a galus of a lot of pain? Of refinement pain, though. Not haphazard pain. Not pain because no one's watching. Pain dafka because someone's watching every single, who wants it? Etin le'esav es har seir, the Yaakov Avon of Yodr Mitzrayim. We opted in. Baruch Shomer after Chos of Yisrael Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us that one time that we saw with clarity that you're going to keep your end of the deal. We saw it in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz, we know you wanted us so badly, you even made the end sooner. We know that you want to give us. We know that you have this in mind what's best for us. That's the Brispen Abisarim. V'hi sha'am, the third sentence, Lavosein of Elanu. And that's it's that knowledge of what happened in Mitzrayim, of that Brispen Abisarim, which is actually giving us the koach that we need today. Because we know that same promise that you promised to Avram Avinu, that was Mekayim Dafka through Zara Shel Yaakov, we are the inheritors of that promise. That's our promise. And it's hard. It's hard, behold, over Dor Omdon Lino Chalosein. It's hard. It's hard, but we know that it's a Kor HaBarza. We know that it is suffering and it hurts, but we know it's not haphazard. We know it's because this was the plan for the world. And if you look, Yaakov and Esav mamash have this conversation. They mamash speak to each other. I'm sorry about the fact that the sheets are not all so off. So let's go to page number 4. So do you see where I wrote that the end of the cycle? So right above the end of the cycle, our psukim is one pasuk. I think it's Parshas Toldos. It's Parshas, so they will tell me. When Rivka's pregnant, right in the beginning. Vayisrotzu abanam mekirba, vatomer imkein, lomo zanuchi. Vateach lidrosh es Hashem. Rivka's pregnant with who? Yaakov and Esav. She's experiencing a tremendous amount of pain. There's a fight going on inside of her. Says Rashi, what was the fight about? Davar acher, misrotzim ze imze, umerivim benachalas shnei olamos. They had a fight, a philosophical fight. Which world is more kedai? Esav says, I don't want to pay the chov, and I don't want the matan. Right? Esav says, Lama zeli, hine anuchi holeich lamos. Lama zeli b'chor. Does it help me now? What do you got for me now? Nothing, I'm out. Says Yaakov, I want olam haba. That's the fight. Which is why we end the Seder. The Seder, that's what I'm saying. The Seder is not a night about what happened 3,300 years ago. It is. But it's a night about why what happened 3,300 years ago is relevant to me today. That's why we end the Seder with Lashon HaBav Yerushalayim. Right? We don't end Hanukkah with Lashon HaBav Yerushalayim. You don't take the lulav and say, how come the end of this mitzvah we say Lashon HaBav Yerushalayim? What's the pshat? Because we're davening, the cycle should end. Enough. We've had so, eventually the cycle ends. We're refined enough, we're pure enough, that we can just be in ultimate geula. That's called the geula shleim. That's the tefillah. The tefillah is that even though the hisham dav, we know you're here, but we're also ready for the cycle to end. We're ready. We're here, we're ready, we're ready, we're done. We're pure. That's the tefillah at the end of the Haggadah. So just to say, I think that that juxtaposition. Esav got higher Seder, Yaakov Avonu Yardu Mitzrayim. It's awesome because we know, because we read Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov Avonu, they weren't Yardu Mitzrayim. That's not what happened. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standpoint, from up there, Hashem had to make two things happen, right? Esav's got to get out of the picture because he didn't want it. And Yaakov has to go into Mitzrayim to go through Kor HaBarzah. So from Hashem's perspective, that's what's happening. Now, the way he chose for that to all work out here, okay, so you have to read, you'll see how it played out here. But there's a much bigger master plan that Hashem showed us one time. One time. We got a much better glimpse of what that master plan actually looks like. And that's the chizuk that's supposed to keep us until the end of all the galuyos. I was thinking it's very interesting. At the end of Az Yashir, you see what I have here, Tfilas Az Yashir. We do something very interesting. We say the Az Yashir. And then we append to the Az Yashir psukim that are not from the Az Yashir. So right after, we just left Mitzrayim, right? We sing the Az Yashir. We're celebrating the Ge'ula from Mitzrayim, and we append some very interesting psukim. So I brought the last pasuk from the Az Yashir. Kival sus pyro birchvo varsha bayam. Vayoshav Hashem alayim es me'ayam. Uvnei Yisrael hochu be'abash b'zochayam. Good. And then we say the following psukim again. Starting from here, these psukim are not in Mishach. They're from all over Tanakh. Okay, that's a nice pasuk. Always a good time for that pasuk. Hashem is the king of the world. Now look at the next pasuk. This is from Ovadia. The Alu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishpot Es Har Esav. Very interesting. We append to Az Yashir a nevuah about the Geula Ha'asid, the ultimate Geula, that what's going to be the ultimate Geula? We're going to come to our inheritance in Har Tzion. We're going to be there. Lishpot Es Har Esav. And we're going to have judgment on Har Esav. We're going to say, it's time to exact retribution from Har Esav. You guys have been, for lack of a better word, chilling the last 3,300 years. When we've been going through B'chol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chalo Zeinu, it's time that we get our reward and you get your punishment. V'yisal Hashem Hamlucha. And then the whole world will appreciate the Malchus Shemai. That's what we say right after Az Yashir. It's the same exact idea as what we do Seder Night. We use the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim as a way to be mechazik our emunah, that what we're doing here today, that the trials and tribulations that Klal Yisrael face today are part of the same plan to ultimately get to V'yisal Hashem Hamlucha, which is the world's, you know, tikkun, right? That is where the world is supposed to be. And I'll just conclude. There's an interesting Rabbi Bechaya here, which basically speaks out a conversation between Yaakov and Esav. Is mamish this conversation? Is it better to have Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba? It's very, very fascinating. I'll just conclude with an interesting comment from the Shlah. I said 9:10. I'm trying to be a man of my word. Interesting comment to the Shlah, which we'll say outside. The Shlah says something very fascinating. Shlah says that we all know that the secret passcode for Klal Yisrael to be able to identify who their true Redeemer was if he knew Pakod Pakadati. Pakod Pakadati. What do those words even mean? I have short, the word Vayafked, that's a hard word to translate, by the way. To count, to appoint, to remember. It means a lot of different things, right? Vayafked Amelech Pikidim. Right? Like, it means a lot of different things, a lot of different contexts. But Pakod, that is the secret message. Not just that, the word Pakod, you would think that how is the word Pakod spelled? Pei, Kuf, Vav, Dalet. But how is it actually spelled? Pei, Kuf, Dalet. So says the Shlah, a very interesting thing. The message that the Goel had to communicate to Klal Yisrael was that I understand what this whole Tzara is about, what this whole Shibud is about. Says, I want to think about this more, but I'm going to throw it out, maybe we can think about it together, exactly what he means. Says the Shlah, the point of this Shibud was actually not to put us in the pain. The point of the Shibud of Mitzrayim and all of the Shibudim of Klal Yisrael is not because we deserve a punishment. It's because we need to be purified. It's tafka so that we don't get punishments. It's to purify us so that we could be the best people that we can. He said, if you look at the word pakod, pay, what's the letter after pay? Tzadi. Okay, good. So no, keep it tzadi here. What's the letter after kuf? Resh. So it's tzadi resh. What's the letter after dalid? Hey. So pakod is before a tzara. It's not a tzara. I'm coming to tell you that I understand the real goel is somebody who understands what's going on here. Is that the Shibud is actually, it's not a tzara. We're here, dafka, to avoid real tzara. What's real tzara? Real tzara is leaving this world with nothing to show for yourself. That's a real tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a national level allows us, again, these are things that we don't, I'm not claiming that anyone here should feel like they understand this in this world. I certainly don't, and I don't think anyone here does either. But that doesn't excuse us from internalizing its absolute truth. Those are not exclusive. You can internalize that it is 100% true, but I can't fully grasp it because I'm not infinite. I'm finite here in this world. Those are not exclusive. They go hand in hand very nicely. Says the Shlom, that's the Goel. The Goel is somebody who understands what is actually going on. That means Hashem sent him. Hillel Pakod, because this is Dafka, not a Tsar. So of course, just to review, in 1 minute, we set out to understand why we refer to the night as the Haggadah Shel Pesach, V'higadata Levincha. We could have used many other words. Amira, Sipor, the Torah actually does refer to Yitzias Mitzrayim with the word Amira. V'yamarta Levincha and Lamante Saper, right? Sipor, those are all great words. But Haggadah is coming to challenge us to open a new aspect of the night. And that is connecting it to ourselves, to be able to see something new, our story, our chapter. Just as the farmer was able to say the whole story and then say, I realize the story is not over. I have a part of that story. Then we set out to find where do we actually do this in the Haggadah. So Eli told us, well, there's a chiyuv. Bechol dor v'dor chayiv adam liro says atzmo. Ki ilu hu yotzim in Yisrael. And quotes our pasuk, v'igadat levincha b'yom hu le'mor, b'avor zeh asa Hashem, li, to me, right? It's a personal story. We're supposed to be able to tell our Hashem, this is my story. This is our story. Nationally, communally, personally. This is our story. And we showed that we worked backwards, because I thought for probably a good 20 minutes today, do I want to work forwards or backwards? And I thought it was going to be easier to understand backwards. We started with the Brisbane episode. We started with Vish Amda. What is the word Vish? What is it that was Amda, Lav, Hussein, Valonu, and every... What? What's the secret to our survival? So there's a lot of Perush and what he means, but the simplest Perush, for sure, is that it's going back on the Brisbane episode. And we saw that there are Mefarshim who say that. And that the Brisbane Abbasar was a Kodesh Baruch Hu telling us Hashem showed Avram all of the darkness of all the Galuyos. And he said, yes, it's going to happen, but it's not haphazard. It's not by chance. It's not because I'm not watching. It's that's because I'm watching. And I'm going to tell you that Mitzrayim is a Kura Barzam. And so is every other Galus that Klal Yisrael Rachman al Islam have gone through. Hopefully, they're all done. And you're going to come to a point where you recognize that Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzleinu Miyadam. And that's why we invited Lavan to the Seder. And you can invite whoever you want to the Seder, as long as you get rid of him by the end. Invite whoever you want. You can invite any personal challenge, any communal challenge, any national challenge that speaks with you. And say, but we're still here. But we're still here. And we showed that in the Pesukim. And then we went back. And we said, why are we starting this section with describing that Esav went to Har Seir and Yaakov went to Mitzrayim? What is this doing on Leil Seder? And we showed that no, Esau went to Har Seir, says the Torah, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. Because of the shtar, he didn't want to pay up. He had a choice. Hashem allowed Esau and Yaakov, each of them, if they wanted to opt into the Bris Ben Abazarim. That's what Rashi says, Mefurish, right? Ki ger yezarecha. Esau said, I don't want it. I don't want to pay, and I don't need your presence in thousands and thousands of years. I'll be fine here on Har Seir myself. I'll leave. Yaakov says, I'm going to opt in. Yaakov says, I'm going to opt in. And that's the story. That's how we introduce the Brisbane Abazarim. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us that opportunity to opt in. Thank you for keeping your word. And then we conclude the night. We conclude the night with Lashon Abba Yerushalayim, with a tefillah that we're so happy to be in this cycle. We wouldn't choose it any other way. We wouldn't. This is the team we want to play for. But we also are asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Ratzar Oseinu Dai, enough. And yeah, we showed it again from Az Yashir, and then we just wanted to conclude by saying that maybe that's the secret. That was the secret redeemer. Pakod Pakadati, that Pakod comes before the Tsar. That what Klal Yisrael chose is to go through a Kor HaBarzal. I don't want to say a Tsar. A Kor HaBarzal, a refinement process in this world, to be able to have the schus, to be the ones who are Mekadeshim Shemayim and bring Malchus Shemayim to this world. Okay, thank you everybody for coming.